Good evening, sweet faces. It's good to be with you tonight. That was such a deep practice for me tonight. That voice, never notice that it never interferes. You know, some could do the guided meditation and you want to say, be quiet. No. But boy, when Randy does guided meditation, it's just part of the serenity. Okay, tonight I want to talk about opinions. Important. And I'll start with reading the part of the third Chinese patriarch. And it says, the great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. When love and hate are both absent, everything becomes clear and undisguised. Make the smallest distinction, however, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. If you really wish to see the truth, then hold to no opinions for or against anything. To set up what you like against what you dislike is the disease of the mind. When the deep meaning of things are not understood, when the deep meaning of things are not understood, the mind's essential peace is disturbed to no avail. The way is perfect like vast space where nothing is lacking and nothing is in excess. Opinions go along with our study of mind states. And so I want to really stress before I talk about this that nothing is wrong with our opinions. We all have it. It's built into us because immediately when we work through our six senses, we like or dislike. It's just part of us. So nothing's wrong with opinions. To understand the truth of opinions is what this lesson is about. And how if we cherish our opinions, or we can't change our mind, then it runs into our suffering. And our mind is malleable and unfixed. If it's malleable and unfixed, we can embody the truth. Emptiness. But we live with duality and paradoxes. And for me, this was one of the teachings. It took me a while to have a deeper understanding. And paradoxes are something that's just part of the practice, and it's a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or proposition that when investigated or explained, may prove to be well-founded or truth. It's confusing. We are living in paradoxes. If we put ourselves under a microscope, we're even closer to the truth than when we see ourselves with an eye, with a naked eye. So nothing appears as it is. So mindfulness is a conscious journey for the truth. And as I've heard teachers say many times, the truth is not what we think. And so mind states. So I'm teaching this lesson under the umbrella of the Dharma. So I know at this moment we're in election year, and you know we have strong opinions about some things, and nothing's wrong, as I said, about these opinions. And especially if we work with politics that connect, that are compassionate, that are generous. So don't get stuck on not having opinions. This is not what this is about. But it is one of the four foundations of mindfulness, so it's most important. It's connected to mind states. It's where we can get stuck. So that's why we want to bring it into our practice. So what is the state of mind? Well, our state of mind is our mood, our mental state at a particular time. And we've talked about this before. We carry that around with us all day and live through those mind states. And it's not really living. It's not true living. So we can be trained, and that's what the Buddha's teachings are showing us, things within our life and conditions that can be shifted and bring more happiness. So we all have views and ideas about all kinds of things. That's okay. About ourselves, about this practice, about whether Randy and Anita know what they're doing. And that's okay. That's good. That's healthy. But many of us who come to the practice, I mean, we have worldly success. We're wealthy, you know. Some of us are graduates, university graduates, teachers, government officials. We're used to kind of being in charge. And so our minds are filled with opinions about the world. We're conditioned for that. But it's like water in a cup. This is what the Buddha says. If the cup is filled with dirty, stale water, it's useless. Only when the old water is thrown out does the cup become useful. That's the emptiness. So opinion is a mind full of one's own perspective. Well, we've talked about perspective, and we know each individual perspective is loaded with past experiences. We are not necessarily seeing the truth. And that's okay. That's part of the practice. And they're unique. These perspectives we have are unique. And to get closer to the truth, we must empty our minds of opinions. And it comes down to, do you trust the Buddha's teachings? And that comes with practice, and that comes with directly experiencing. Is it true? Is any of it true? And when we empty our minds of opinions, it doesn't bog us down. We are open to learn. And we have lots to learn. So to see clearly, we must learn to be simple, to see things as they are. And that's a huge shift. We're working with some really strong obstacles. And we have so many opinions about what is good and what is not. But the truth of the matter is we really don't know. We really don't know much except what we concoct or have concocted. And so that's what we're all about. We're looking for the truth. We know that about the mind and body. We've practiced with it. We know how confused that the mind can get. But we can't rely on the mind for wisdom. For instance, I don't know about you, but I thought my anger or resentment was bad. You know, I didn't know the true relationship with it that brought me more happiness. But it turns out to be the very opening to the very lesson I needed to learn. What do I do with it? How do I relate to it? That it doesn't bog me down and cause me suffering. So the world is bigger than it seems to the closed mind. So it's something we check on. And it's bigger than our memory and opinions. But we want to know our opinions. That's why we rain on everything that we are practicing. And looking at where have we been confused? And we have to personally make that decision one person at a time. Because it's experiential. But this is the lesson. But it's the clinging to these opinions that keeps us stuck. And knowing the truth about them is what we learn in our practice. As the Buddha says, people with opinions just go around bothering one another. I mean, is that not true? Well, in my opinion, well, we can learn about opinions. First of all, we want to know about our own opinions. I don't know about you, but I seem to have a dialogue about everything I see, everything that goes through these six senses. I just want to comment. I don't know who I'm commenting to, but, you know, I'm having a dialogue about it. It's wasted energy. It's unnecessary. It's just being. So, we begin to see the mind's very nature is to think, to divide, to plan, and we can release ourselves from its grip it has on us, because this mind will keep us separated, not only from each other, but from the truth. So in this way, we step out of our identification, out of our expectations, our opinions, our judgments, and we begin to see the conflicts to which they give rise. It's humbling. It's humility. It's coming to the understanding that we don't know much. And it doesn't mean to be a victim. The mind thinks of the self as separate. but the heart knows better. So again, don't confuse this lesson with, well, if I, you know, people will, you know, I'll become, no. Because the heart knows better, and that's what we've touched. That's where we have touched the truth, is bodily awareness. Joseph Goldstein says, every time I think there is a problem, I decide that there isn't one. Now, what if we gave that up? Because the teachings very clearly say there are no problems. Now, we're talking about the truth. Some have found that simple guideline to be helpful in situations. A problem we just identified, put it in a box, added so much things to it, and we've created a problem. And that's what the problem is. It's been created by the mind as a problem, along with all the things that come with that identification. So we get caught in this small self. The mind tightens and we see things from only one perspective. And we know about our perspectives. They're unique just to us. But when we can let go of this negative frame, we can begin to unwind our stories and our conclusions and start seeing a situation with a fresh perspective. Then we're on our road to freedom, to more happiness. End of quote. The Buddha says that kind, and we've talked about this, kind criticism from wise people who have our best interest at heart can be most useful. It just took me a while, and I've told you that, to get that kind of feedback without being defensive. But seeing ourselves from the external perspective as someone who has psychological maturity. I don't know if I'm psychologically mature or not. But to see things clearly can be extremely useful. Don't pass this up. Get over that small ego. Even this is what I've heard, I don't know if this is dharmic, but everything people say about ourselves, there's a little bit of truth about it. So take advantage of that information to see for yourself. So most people's views are very much shaped by their own emotions, their trauma, their memories, their concepts. So once we understand that people are limited in their views in this way, we can also see that our opinions about us or ourselves doesn't carry much weight either. And that goes for opinions of others as well. We usually are not trained to see the full picture about another human being. We're just not. And the truth is, other people's opinions of us are none of our business. We get so preoccupied and we project. I think she doesn't like me. I think he doesn't like me. And their opinions, regardless if it's true or not, we can't know them. We pretend we know them. Have nothing to do with us. And everything to do with the opinionated person. And what comes with their opinion is the past, their judgments, their expectations, their likes, and their dislikes. See where we get stuck? This is what I found, especially being a principal. No matter what I do, some people will never like me. If I set myself up to be liked by everyone, then I lose myself. I lose myself completely. So no matter what I do, some people will like me. And then others won't like me. Either way, it has nothing to do with me, and it's none of my business. So keep it to yourself. I was going to say, no. I didn't say that. Okay, that's all well and good, you may be thinking, but how do I stop caring what other people think of me? Now, again, you're waiting for a big, deep lesson that you've never heard before. So get ready. This is how simple it is. You begin to notice them. You recognize them. You allow them. You investigate. And it heals the mind. Naturally, it does. And so we want to make this practice so complicated. And we have to keep reminding ourselves, it's not. It's simple, but our conditioning makes it difficult. I'm not saying it's not difficult. It is. But knowing our opinions free us from our opinions. And so cherishing our opinions and not being able to change our mind is very scary to me. In fact, I feel like that's part of where we are in our country right now. We're not interested in the raw truth. We're more interested in what we think and our opinion. But can you see where that can shift all of us, a whole country? And so with that, I'm going to stop and we'll turn it over to you. Thank you.